to restrict the TARP remedy to a certain class. And usually when this attempt is made, restriction of a TARP remedy, it is to deny full recovery for injury to the victim. It is, in fact, causing the victim to subsidize the wrongdoer. And we can talk in polite language all that we want to, but that's exactly what was done under the insurance code, which is the way that this case appears before this court. And that act was passed in 1975, as all the briefs tell you and teach us. Ms. Sachs' case was brought in 1976, a year prior to the time that the Malpractice Act, euphemistically called, was passed. Now, the purpose of the Insurance Code Act, as defined in its preamble, was to regulate insurance rates. It never mentions a crisis anywhere. What the respondents in this case are requesting of this court is that you transfer the preamble and legislative fraudulent made-up history in the Malpractice Act case of 1977 backwards and claim that there was a crisis in 1975. It can't be done. Stripped of all of its the statistical baloney and all of these appendices and all of the economics that have been argued to you about the protection of the doctor's pocketbook. What the court here is faced with is a child of 8 years old stripped of a remedy. And did the legislature err in passing this act by violating the Texas Constitution and more specifically the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, which apparently respondents in this case refuse to recognize at all? But they tell you, if they are serious, that the legislature giveth and the legislature taketh away. Legislature giveth the minor the right to bring a suit, legislature taketh away. But what do you do about equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment? What do we do about due process as enunciated in Reed versus Reed, the Supreme Court of the United States? That's the test, and if we keep our eye on what is before this court, the purpose of that insurance code was to regulate rates, not to alleviate a doctor's financial crisis brought on by his own wrongdoing. The purpose was to regulate rates, and in Reed versus Reed it says that the correction, as I'll put it, has to bear some substantial relationship to the purpose of the act. Well, the purpose of the act being to regulate rates, it's not dealing with minors, it's not dealing with statutes of limitations to minors, and nowhere in that act is it referred to a crisis. The test in Reed, as set out in Reed, is that states, and I'll read, and I know you don't like anybody to read, but I've got to read this because I can't remember it, and I'm quoting, states cannot legislate that different treatment be accorded to persons placed by statute into different classes on the basis of something unrelated to the objective of the statute. I don't know how it could be any plainer. What you saw from respondents here today was a culmination of an illogical act, that we need to have this special class. We need to protect them. What's so magic about them? And where in it is there any evidence of any kind that the elimination of a minor's rights is going to alleviate their crisis? You see none of it. None of it. It's a crisis made by them, and it was a phony crisis. The legislature and the state had never been subjected to such a bombardment of public relations and overtures and busloads of doctors falling on these people. And what did they do? And are we to do, as counsel suggests, the legislature did it, so you can't do anything about it? Why not? No, you are the guardians. Not only of those children, but of the entire body of law. I really cannot, I don't want to talk economics and statistics, and I do want to talk about this crisis thing that that they keep bringing up. Now, the only thing that I was unable to, it really frightened me. They attached as an appendices to a brief filed by my friend Will Barber, another amicus brief, is something that I hardly knew how to overcome. It really was. This caused me great trouble. Because you see, this was a newspaper clipping, a press release from ex-Senator Babe Swartz after the act had been passed, stating that there was a crisis. Now you see, this is what they ask you to rely on, base your opinion on, that there was a crisis. Now I grant you, that's hard to overcome. But when the time comes that this court or this state has to accept a public relations release from a politician, and he's my ex-client and friend, from a politician, and we're in a lot of trouble. I suggest to you that we might as well place as much credence in the babblings of the drunk lawyer and the Wizard of Id. What did that add to this case? It adds nothing. Nothing. That's no test. The test is as enunciated in Reed. Whether the object of that statute, what it was, and is the restrictions placed in the statute one that is has some real relationship to the object of that statute. You see, we have trouble. We can only overcome that press release evidence with the United States Constitution and the United States Supreme Court. Now, I grant you that that's not as weighty, but we must at least consider it. Now, you are asked to say, by whatever reasons that you come to reach your conclusion, that an 8-year-old has reached the age of reason. An 8-year-old could not bring suit upon its own. I don't want to be redundant. You know all of this. What you're being asked to do in this case is to do away with due process. Now, counsel erroneously suggests to you that I place no emphasis on the due process question and equal protection. My entire brief is devoted to that. And it's supported by the Mills case and again by the Reed versus Reed case. I don't know what else I could add to that. The appellees in this case, or the respondents here, want you to write it so that it will be so that a minor is of age if he's wounded or injured by a doctor. That's it. Automatically, the baby is an adult. But he's still a minor, a child, with a child's judgment, child's folly, child's foolishness, a child's dependence upon this court, as the ward of this court. Have they done away with that too? He's a child for all purposes except if that special class happens to injure him. And what you saw here was an attempt to use the legislature, which they did, and now an attempt to use this court to ease their bookkeeping problem. They don't want the records open for 15, 18, 20 years. Well, my mind, all the rest of us are responsible for our actions, including all of you. The legislature in its illogical stampede into this folly, this foolishness, has taken away our most precious possession, one of them, the rights of our children. I'm here, and I don't know any other way to put it, to ask this court to show the courage that the legislature obviously couldn't show, or didn't show, and that is to declare this act unconstitutional. And I will say this, there's no guile in me. If you declare the insurance code as it existed at that time unconstitutional, Ergo, I think it also declares the provision in the malpractice statute that requires the child to bring the lawsuit before its majority unconstitutional, which you may not be able to do, but I would hope some, if you agree with our position, that some mention be made of it. I'm asking you again not to take away the rights of the child to its full right of recovery for damages done to the child in order to subsidize a special group.
Counsel, would you say that there should never be a limitations that cuts off children's rights below, I want to say age 18, but that's not correct. It's just before you turn 20. But in other words, should the children always be guaranteed their right of action up through 2 years after they reach their majority?
I see no other way not to discriminate. If the child has a right in every other action, contract, tort, whatever it may be, trespass, whatever, to bring a lawsuit 2 years after the child reaches its majority, what is so special about, if that, the asking of that question should convince the court, if that's not discriminatory, what else is? No other area of our law requires the child, the minor, to do anything until 2 years after its majority, with the possible exception of compensation.
Well, I think probably the question should be,
my answer to that is, I believe that any restriction would be an injustice to the minors and children of this state.
And does the legislature ever have power then to restrict any group that is in minority below age 18?
If they do not discriminate, I suppose they might. But it has to be have some rational basis for doing so. If our Texas Constitution guarantees us, and the words don't have to be spelled out, the job of this august court is to interpret it, that we have a right in our persons to be free from injury, tortious injury. What they create that right in the Constitution. If you unreasonably, what if the legislature decided a 3-hour statute of limitations? What if a city decided to put a 30-minute notice letter as a requirement to recovery against a city? Is that reasonable? Is it reasonable to expect that an 8-year-old child knows if it's hurt at all? What do we do with the orphans? What do we do with those children that don't have parents? And what do we do later, trying to answer your question about restriction, we better create some more courts. Because these children are then going to sue their parents, I suppose, when they reach their majority, which they apparently can do, for negligently failing to file a lawsuit against some, doctor, while they were a minor. And then does the parent do this? Well, the dumb kid, he should have known about it at 8 and file a cross action or ask for the findings of contributory negligence. The kid's stupid. Should have known. He's 8 years old.
Well, see, the real problem is do we gauge what the legislature's done by the reasonableness of the time in which they have allowed a child to bring a suit, or do we just say that there's discrimination because there's any statute of limitations below age before reaching majority?
I can only answer it this way. Both approaches are appropriate. However, I think it need not be any, you need not address the problem in that way as it now exists before this court. That I see no need just to expand it, but in this case, this is unreasonable. And I think the court has to stay as a court in a position to rule on each case as it appears.
Well, that's the reason maybe we shouldn't write on the 12-year-old.
Well, I don't think that's before you. I was hoping for some dicta. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. The cause will be submitted on briefs and oral argument. The court will take a 10-minute recess.
The audience, please rise.